So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom, and I will be coming at you loud and clear for the next 30 minutes. Now, I'm going to be getting into a continuation of what I left off last week with the Las Vegas shootings, because there's been a lot of stuff that has come forward. A lot of things we need to look at and investigate and delve deeper into. But before I get into that, I'm going to tell you a story. And of course, yes, this is time for Uncle Tommy's story of the week. Well, yesterday morning, I got up and I went to work. It was still dark. And my dad had pulled in behind me in the driveway. So I drove around the house and went out a right of way that abuts our property. So he called me and he said, was the road wet? I said, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I went out the other side. I didn't see anything that was wet. So apparently there was a leak in the water main under the road and it was bubbling up through the asphalt. So he called into the local 311 number and he said, well, you know, I'm out on the job. Give me a shout when you get in and let me know what's going on. I said, okay. So I came home and the road was wet. There were no trucks there. There was absolutely nothing being done. So I went out and I looked at it and I could see it was a very serious leak. So I called 311 and I reported it. And they said, well, yes, sir, this has already been reported. I said, yeah, my dad reported it like 6 hours ago. Nobody's out here. Well, we'll just have to see, you know, how this fits in, you know, into our schedule. We'll see if we can get somebody out there. I said, fine. So I went in, sat down, you know, caught up. I was done with my work for the day. And about, I don't know, 2-3 hours later, now it was later than that. It was, maybe 4 or 5 hours went by. Still nobody had shown up. So I called in again. And I said, yes, this has already been reported. I said, yes, my dad reported it, and I reported it. And then I told him who I was, and I said, I want somebody out here now. Well, if you remember from last week, folks, you know, calling into the local numbers here, you get a big delay. I told you about the party last weekend where I called in and it took them 2 hours to get somebody out here to investigate the loud noise. Well, they never showed up. And then when I called in and told them who I was within 30 minutes, there was a pickup truck out in front of the house and he was surveying the situation. I told him who I was. I said, look, we need to get this fixed. So finally, at 6:30 last night, all the equipment showed up. And they were there until 4:30 this morning. They finally left at 4:30. It took them 10 hours to fix this situation. The funny thing about this story is that at 3:15, they finally hooked the water itself back up. And, of course, I was awake. I mean, you hear this kind of stuff going on all night. You're going to be awake. I typically sleep what they call a split night, which is actually the healthiest way to sleep. I sleep about 5 to 6 hours, then I'm awake for a few hours, then I get a few more hours sleep. And this is the way we're actually bred to sleep, folks, because for thousands of years, we would go to sleep when it got dark. We'd wake up in the middle of the night, go out, feed the cows, the goats, the livestock, the chickens, that sort of a thing, run the ranch, then come back and go back to sleep and get a few more hours of sleep and then get up in the morning and continue on with the day. This is where the midnight snack comes from. This is why you wake up around midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, very hungry. It's because our brains want us to get up, get something to eat, go out and do work and chores on the farm, and then go back to bed. So anyway, at 3:15 in the morning, I'm laying there awake, and I see this very, very bright light in my bedroom window. And I hear some voices outside my bedroom window. Well, the spigot, the front spigot for my house is right under my bedroom window, off to one side. It's not directly under the window, but it's right next to the bedroom window, right there on the ground. So they had to bleed the line to get the air out of it. So this bright light woke me up, and I hear this guy coming through. Now, to give you a heads up, in front of my house, instead of having bushes, I planted dogwoods and redbuds. So I've actually got, you know, trees about maybe 15 feet tall in front of the house. So when they bloom in the spring, they're absolutely beautiful. But it also keeps my bedroom dark. Even during the day, it's always like twilight in my bedroom because of these trees. So this guy came through, and he's trying to find the spigot. Well, under every window in my house, I have planted a very, very dangerous anti-burglary plant. The Latin name is Ponceris trifoliata. The variety is Flying Dragon. Folks, I want you to do an image search for Flying Dragon so you can see what this bush actually looks like. It literally grows a thorn, an inch and a half long, a curving thorn, and about two-thirds of the way up, it grows another one in the opposite direction. So this plant is literally nothing but thorns. It does get leaves on it. It gets nice white flowers, and then around this time of year, it actually gets a small mock orange on it. But these things are, you cannot get through them. They actually use them for living livestock fences in China, and even pigs cannot get through them. If you've ever dealt with pigs or wild hogs, you know what they're capable of going through. They cannot get through this plant, and I have them planted under every window in my house. Again, it's called Flying Dragon. Look it up. Well, this guy, apparently, while looking for the spigot, bumped into one of these things, because I heard him come through the bushes, and then I heard a yow, and I heard him yell. So he apparently found out why these things are planted under the windows. But if you're looking for a plant that's really good for keeping burglars from getting through your windows, Ponceris trifoliata. What? Oh, George wants me to spell it. Ponceris trifoliata. Just do an online search for it. Again, the easiest way to find it, it's called Flying Dragon. Get these things. Put them under your windows, folks. It's better than almost anything out there. Now, this guy was actually lucky that he bumped into the Ponceris trifoliata, because if he'd have gone around the other side where it was more open, he would have walked directly into a cactus. And if you've never walked into a cactus, let me assure you, it is not pleasant. If you've ever gotten a splinter from a piece of pressure-treated lumber, and you know how bad it burns and stings, a cactus spine is about 2 to 3 times the amount of burn and pain. There's some kind of a fungus that grows on the spines, and when it lodges in your skin, it just burns. And that's why so many times, if you've ever gotten stuck by a cactus, it gets infected, especially if it breaks off. Now, I have had the misfortune many times over the years of coming in contact with cacti in Arizona and other parts. Of course, I grow cacti. I grow prickly pear and some others. And about, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, my mother sent me a Peruvian night-blooming cactus from Arizona. And it will not survive outside here in North Carolina, so I had it wintering over in the back hall of the house. And at that time, we had the dryer in the back hall for the clothes. And my dad, for some reason, was out there in his boxers getting laundry out of the dryer, and he backed into this cactus, and one of these spines broke off in what Forrest Gump would call his buttock. And after about 10 days, he actually had to have it surgically removed. It was that bad. So I guess this guy was lucky he walked into the flying dragon and not the cactus. But anyway, that's Uncle Tommy's story of the week. I have a few minutes before I got to go to break, so I'm going to share something else with you here, folks. Have you heard about this incident at Lipscomb University where black students were offended because the centerpieces were cotton and collard greens? Have you heard of this? Well, apparently, there was a dinner held. Now, Lipscomb University, and I don't even know where it is, but I guess it's a very predominantly white school, but they have some Hispanics and some blacks there. And they held special dinners for the people who weren't white. I mean, that's what you do. You know, to try and mollycoddle them, right? So, They had this dinner for the black students, and the president of the university was there. And the centerpieces, like I said, they were cotton stalks, which actually is really pretty. If you've ever seen cotton, it's a very, very pretty thing. Collard greens, I'm not really sure what they look like, but these students got horribly offended at the cotton and the collard greens and the fact that they were being served macaroni and cheese and cornbread and stuff like that. And a lot of them just got up and walked out and left. They were very offended. And somebody posted on social media about this and pointed out that the dinner a night or two before that was for the Latinos, they had been served tacos, and they were saying this whole thing was racist. So now, cotton is perceived to be racist. If you wear a cotton t-shirt, you're racist, folks. I'm not sure if it's the ACLU, some group, I don't think it was the ACLU, but some group now has come and asked Hobby Lobby to stop selling cotton because it's racist. Now, if you're not familiar with Hobby Lobby, they have a section where you can buy like dried flowers and pine cones and grass and stuff like that for making crafts, wreaths and decorations, dried flowers, things like that. So now this group has come forward and they're asking Hobby Lobby to stop selling cotton because cotton is racist. Because it goes back to the days of slavery when the poor blacks were forced to pick cotton. And that's what led to the Civil War and all the same rhetoric. So last week, I was listening to a local radio station. And as you well know, I call into these radio stations left and right. You know, I have my own radio show. So I call into the rock and roll station and the local talk radio station. The rock and roll station has some funny guys on there, so I call in when I got something funny to say. And when I have something legitimate to say, I will generally call into the local talk radio station. And this is where I was first made aware of this completely stupid and asinine story. So the host of this particular show was going off on the same thing that you and I are thinking, you know, cotton being racist, that's just absolutely stupid. So he said, okay, cotton is racist. What about polyester? Is that what's coming next? Are they going to say that polyester is racist? I want your phone calls. So, folks, I called in and I said polyester was, in fact, racist. And this is what I had to say. Mute my name, George.
You've called us 704-570-1110. Cotton, it's racist. What about polyester?
Well, polyester used to pick the cotton, so of course that's going to be deemed racist as well.
Polyester used to pick the cotton. What am I missing here?
Polyester.
Oh, that was the person's name. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. yeah, I gotcha. What else is going to be considered to be racist? What?
When dealing with such a stupid issue as such as that, you got to try and make light of it somehow.
You do. It's everybody's got a trigger. Everybody's looking for a reason to be offended. And I don't know that I'm necessarily offended by their offense. It's just getting so... It's
old.
So ridiculous. Yeah, it's getting old. It's getting ridiculous. And it makes me so cynical about when there are things to be offended by.
It's completely understandable. It's like a little boy crying wolf. At some point, you just tune a deaf ear to everything, and when something legitimate happens, everybody's tired of hearing it.
Yeah,
it has absolutely no impact whatsoever.
I'm I'm right there with you. Appreciate the call, Polly Esther. I'm going to name my granddaughter that. My daughter doesn't know that yet.
So that was me explaining why Polly Esther is racist. Now, in all honesty, folks, have you ever known anyone with the name of Esther that was not black? I can't think of one. What about Esther Rolley from Good Times? I cannot think of a single person named Esther who was white. So, of course, Polly Esther was black. That makes it racist because Polly Esther picked my damn cotton. Well, actually, it wasn't my cotton because my grandparents from one side came over from Germany after World War I, and my grandparents from my other side of my family came down sometime, I guess, in the 19-teens from Quebec. So, you didn't pick my cotton. I didn't own your grandparents. And quite frankly, I owe you nothing. Let's hit a commercial break here. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. And we'll talk about Las Vegas and what I think is really going down, who I think is behind it, and what I think is really going on and what's going to happen very, very shortly, which coincides with Donald Trump's latest tweet.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the nights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net, and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Thank you. back for the final segment of the show. I have about 8 or 9 minutes left, and I want to go over with what I see having happened in Las Vegas as this story still continues to unfold and grow and go in so many different directions. The one thing that keeps coming to mind, and what so many people have brought up, including myself, is that this was in fact a false flag operation. Now, my ex-wife texted me the other day and asked me what I thought about the Las Vegas shooting, and I was on my way out the door getting ready to go to work, so I just said false flag. So she texted me back and said, "What do you mean this didn't happen?" I said, "Look, that's not what it means. Look it up. I'm on the road." So between the house and work, I got two more texts that were about a page and a half long, going off on this huge diatribe about something she knew absolutely nothing about. And I said, "Once again, look it up and stop running your mouth." See, this is what aggravates the crap out of me about liberals, folks. They go off on these tangents on things that they know absolutely nothing about, acting like they're experts on the subject. She had no idea what a false flag operation was, and just because it had the word false in it, automatically assumed it didn't happen. It's like these liberals going off on all these anti-gun rhetoric, saying we need more gun laws, we need more gun laws. Well, we don't need more gun laws. Enforce the ones we have on the books, and it will work just fine. We need universal background checks. We have universal background checks. You got the gun show loophole. You go to the gun show, you can buy a gun without a permit. No, as long as you're buying a gun from a dealer, you got to fill out the same paperwork and go through the same background checks. This is what happens when these people just stick their nose into somebody else's business without understanding what's going on. So why do I and so many other people think that the Las Vegas shooting was a false flag operation? Well, let's look back in history. Some of the big mass shootings always occurred when there was gun legislation getting ready to be voted on in Congress. Up until now, it was always anti-gun legislation. This time it was pro-gun legislation. It was the bill on sound suppressors. These things are too coincidental, folks. Now, there are a couple of options. This guy may have actually just been, well, we know he's a lunatic. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He was bat crazy. But did he do it on his own, or did he have sponsorship? If he did it on his own, we'll never truly know his motives. But there is so much evidence out there saying that there were other people involved. The couple that ran through the crowd screaming, "You're all going to die tonight," 30 minutes before he opened fire. The mysterious woman that was seen with him in the casino. And I'll get back to that in a couple of minutes because it's very interesting. But if he was actually being backed by someone, the options are limited. Obviously, North Korea, China, Russia, ISIS, Israel, or company. Now, I would tend to rule out Russia and China because they know that if this came out, it would result in an all-out global war, and they don't want that. That would leave a rogue nation like North Korea, or ISIS, or if this was in fact company-sponsored, it would serve a lot of purposes to try and get those guns removed. Now, we know that they've done this before. If this guy was a company operative, then this could be a serious breach in our security. Is this what Donald Trump was talking about when he said this is the calm before the storm? Was he talking about North Korea? Because that's what was said the last time we went into Korea. Or did he mean that this is the calm before the storm because more of these are going to start happening, or that they know who's behind it? If company is behind this, then this is in fact proof that this was part of a deep state conspiracy. And if that's the case, and this is cracked open, you can expect things to get very ugly very quickly, folks, because our government will change in the next 18 months, if that is the case. If the American people realize what the CIA has been doing all these years and who they've taken out, and they find out that they're responsible for this, it will be bloody. So let's focus on this mystery woman from the casino. The FBI has surveillance photographs of her that are being circulated. It will be very easy to identify this person. Now, there are so many people in this country, somebody is going to know who she is. If she had nothing to hide, she will come forward and she will explain her interactions with this guy. If she disappears, it means one of two things. Either she went back to where she came from, or she was removed from the equation. This is where we need to focus our attention, folks, over the next few weeks. If this mystery woman does not surface, then we do know for certain that this was an operation that was either false flag or a blatant act of terror or a blatant act of war, depending upon which country was involved. And that ain't good news, my friends. Tain't good news at all. Now, if this was, in fact, a false flag operation that was designed to go after our gun rights, it's worked. Because already, Congress has said that they have shelved the suppressor bill indefinitely. So if that's what they were looking to do, they have, in fact, succeeded. But I don't think it's going to end there, because now they're trying to go after the bump fire stocks, and the NRA, quite shamefully, has gone in collusion with the gun grabbers and saying, oh, well, yeah, maybe we don't need these things. Let me tell you something. Have you ever used one of these? I haven't. Now, I've used the little BMF activators, the little crank things, the Hellfire, which, my God, if you ever got a Hellfire to work, you were just like the proudest thing, because you probably went through 1,000 rounds of ammo trying to get it to bark off 5 rounds in a row. Now, the bump fire stock works a little bit easier, but it still takes practice. Like I said, I've not used one, but I know people who have, and you can't just pick this thing up and put it up to your shoulder. It takes a lot of practice to get it to work. Now, the really curious thing is that the shooter's brother said that this guy was not an avid gun nut, that he had not been amassing weapons over the years. See, the first thing we heard was he'd been amassing weapons over the years and then went on this huge spending spree over the past year and a half. Well, there's no way to document that. Unless he bought these things brand new, where they could trace the serial number from the manufacturer to the store that it went and then tie it into him, there's absolutely no way to trace where a gun goes. If he bought these things secondhand, there's no database, folks. It doesn't matter what the liberals say. There is no big database anywhere that the ATF has with all the serial numbers registered. It does not exist. So again, that lends credence to the fact that he came into this at the very end. Somebody funded him. I mean, look at the money that he was going through and sending $100,000 to his Filipina girlfriend, where in the Philippines, by the way, there's a huge Muslim population. So unless we can find a journal or somebody actually rolls over on this guy, we're not going to know for quite some time, if ever. But so many things are pointing to either outside or internal influence. And again, if it's the latter, then this needs to be exposed once and for all for who's behind this, what they're doing, and how they are trying to destroy this country. As Thomas Jefferson so wisely said, you will never understand the need for the Second Amendment until they come to take it away. And folks, by then it's going to be too late. We actually need the Second Amendment to stop all of this legislation that we are now suddenly facing once again. So I'm going to leave you with those parting thoughts. As always, you can get in touch with me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.